Good morning, Texas. Program number 25, as we continue studying prayer, rightly divided. Yesterday we looked at some of the Old Testament prayers, and I saved a big one for today. We're going to start, though. We're going to go way back to Matthew. Going to go Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now remember, I'm giving an introductory before we get into the prayer that Jesus had before he was arrested. But this introductory thing is I want you to remember and realize that the issue for the Jews, the time Jesus was on the earth to the Jews to be their Messiah, was, is he the Son of God? Is he the Son of the living God? That is not what Paul preaches to Gentiles. We have the faith that Christ was Christ, died, buried, and rose again. So there's a major difference here, which you will see next week as we look at the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, when we look at the design of the local church in the beginning stages compared to today for the Gentiles. This is fascinating stuff. This is why we can't ignore Genesis to Revelation by just going to Paul's books. We do need to read the whole thing. And the Gospels are very important. They just aren't written to us. They're written there for us to understand the church, to understand that Jesus was the Son of God when he was down here, to understand the whole teachings to the Jews compared to what is taught to us as the Gentiles today. They're different. So, Matthew 16, this is a classic place, and it's very misunderstood by so many preachers and teachers. Let's go back, and let's start with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, that's as far as I'm going to go. Now, that has a lot to do with the local church, so we will look at that later on next week. But I wanted you to see that Christ was asking, "Who do you guys say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, here's a couple other verses. John chapter 1, verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." That's the issue of the day. John 1, 49, "Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." John chapter 9, verse 35, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Meaning, is he the Son of God? Do you believe that? Not believing in, but believing on. John 11:27. "She saith unto him," if you know the whole context of that story, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Then there's one more, Acts chapter 8. Let's go to verse 34. "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Old Testament, Gospels. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Because that's what they were told to do. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." What did this eunuch have to believe? And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." There it is again. Now then John chapter 20, verse 31, "But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." What's his name? The Son of God. Jesus is the Christ. That's his name. So if you recognize this difference, and you recognize that all of this is about Jesus and the Jews, then let's go on to John chapter 16. We're skipping a lot of good material, which we will cover over the next couple of days. But we go to John chapter 16. we see something here that, again, people try to claim today, exactly as it's stated. And you'll see what I'm saying here. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, not just the apostles, but to the disciples before he's going to leave, before he takes off, before he knows he's going to be crucified, he's going to be arrested, crucified, dies, goes to hell, rises, okay, and comes back right after that, and then goes away again, and then he'll come down for the rapture part way, but then he'll come down all the way before the millennium starts. So he's talking about the Spirit of God. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, what is he talking about here? There's so many different trails we could go down. One is he's telling these guys, that, listen, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth, capital S, so that's the Spirit of God. So these guys will be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will speak of Jesus Christ, not of himself. So all this stuff about the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit that and the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking in the tongues of the Holy Spirit and praise the Holy Spirit, that's all wrong because the Holy Spirit is not going to speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that's from Jesus, that shall he speak. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself, he talks about Jesus. He shall glorify me. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That's one thing to look at. Another thing to look at here is note that these guys don't have a Bible, as we call it, the Bible. They don't have the 66 books. So the Spirit of Truth, they had to pray for the Spirit of Truth, and when they receive the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God will guide them. And that's totally understandable. Let's jump down to verse 23. Now remember, please remember, this whole thing is about Jesus to the Jews. This is before the Great Commission is given to the Jews, and it's going to be given to them very soon here. Jesus is going to tell these guys to go out into the world, and then he's going to pray, and then they're going to arrest him. That's what we're looking at. We're going to eventually get to his prayer this morning. But let's go down to verse 23 to show you something that's just, it just clicked on me a number of years ago. Verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. There it is again. They believe that he was the Son of God. Okay, now, have you ever prayed in Jesus' name? Well, of course, that's a common thing in Christianity. It used to be so common. Because there was a time when people understood rightly dividing without having to make a big emphasis about it. It was just a common thing. And they knew that this was given to the Jews. So when he says that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me. They had to make sure they asked in Jesus' name. They were in his name. So we see today people always asking in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I ask this. One of my men of the church years ago said, well, Pastor, why don't we put in Jesus' name at the beginning of the prayer? That way he knows to listen, because if we don't say it at the end, what was the point of listening? As a silly question as that is, that just showed the silliness of us having to say, in Jesus' name. Because how many times have you prayed in Jesus' name and you didn't receive? Come on. So thus, us throwing it in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and all this stuff, this is to the Jews. This isn't to us today at all. I'm trying to set up a thought here before we get into Jesus' prayer, because I want you to realize that none of this is written to us. We are looking at Jesus' last days on this earth during the gospel days. He's going to tell the Jews at the end of Matthew and the end of Mark, I'm going to tell these guys to go out into the world. We won't read those scriptures. We haven't got the time in our 20 minutes here. I'm going to go out to the world. And I'll just read one quick thing here. And he says to them in Mark 16, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. That's the gospel's gospel back in Jesus' day. To give every creature that he that believeth what? That he is the Son of God. And is baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall follow them. So this thing just leads us all to the fact that this whole emphasis to the Great Commission today is bogus. It's wrong. It did take place. This is Jesus telling people, telling these guys, that listen, the Spirit of God's going to come to you guys. He's going to guide you around this world, and you're going to tell people about me. And then the Spirit of God is going to tell you to tell people about me. Okay, now we know that that didn't pan out because they killed Stephen and Christ went on to Paul. Let's now go to John chapter 17 and let's look at the prayer Jesus says before he goes off to be arrested. And he's talking about his people right there. In fact, let's look at John 18 just to make sure. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where there was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also which betrayeth him, knew the place for Jesus, and there it comes. They come and they arrest him. So you know the times that Jesus was praying and the disciples were sleeping? You ever wonder what he was praying? Well, here we go. John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven. There it is again. No folded hands, heads down, you know, that kind of thing. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You want to hear about election? Here's where it's at. These are God's people that he gave to Jesus. Chosen. And this is life eternal. There we go. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is what they had to know. It says, and this is life eternal. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I thought it was finished at the cross. It's got all these different stages of being finished. So people who stop at the cross and emphasize the cross this and the cross that, it goes beyond the cross. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Isn't that just interesting? He was there before the world was. Who do you think Moses looked upon? Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. The second half of that verse says, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Paul is telling people Jesus Christ was the creator because he was God. By the way, all the modern Bibles of the creationists take by Jesus Christ out of their Bible. So here are these creationists who believe in creation, and yet the very Bibles they use takes out who the creator is. Oh, if they just wouldn't look at these things. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, do you think that he's talking about obeying? They kept it. They kept what they were told. They kept his words, as you'll see. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Remember, these guys believed that Jesus was the Son of God. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and in verse 6, they kept them. We still have those words today, because those guys kept them. They have received them, the middle of verse 8, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Remember, that was the whole issue. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Isn't that amazing? For God so loved, past tense, the world. And here's Jesus himself saying, listen, I pray for these guys that you gave me. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. He's not glorified in the world. He's glorified in these guys. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Ah, there's that one. There's that body of Christ. There's the church. Oh, I could get into that. Let's go on. Stay with the subject here. We'll get on a different trail later. While I was with... Oh, by the way, and it says... let's go back and finish that verse. Holy Father, keep through thine own name, whose name thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. There's a short little reference to the Trinity, which a lot of people don't believe. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. It was Jesus that kept them. Remember, we have the faith of Christ today. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that's Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now we have to remember that even though we've been separated from our flesh, according to Paul's teaching, you know, we're still out in this world. And if you get into the tribulation books, and you'll recognize the fact that you have to stay away from the pollutions of the world. Peter teaches that. And if you go back to the pollutions of the world, you'll be worse off than when you started. We have to be in the world. We're working in the world. We have to be. We can't go hiding off to Alaska somewhere and hide from all this. That is not what God tells us Gentiles to do. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, we don't have to be of the world, but we certainly are in the world. Now, do you have God's word? Because he says right here, I have given them thy word. Do you have his word? Different Bibles? They all can't be his word. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. We talked about that yesterday. Christ kept them from the evil. The Spirit of God kept them from the evil. We, on the other hand, we have to work amongst the evil. But that King James Bible will tell us who to avoid, how to stay away from that evil, so he can still keep us away from it, even though we have to work in it. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So what is truth today? It was God's word. His word is truth. Do you have God's word? Do you have the truth? Do you have man's opinion? Do you have man's translation of the truth? Or do you have inspired and preserved word? And it says, words. Promises to preserve the words of the Lord. Okay, verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. There's the Great Commission now. That's the Great Commission. That is not Paul's commission. This is the Jews to go out to the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. What's the truth? Thy word is truth. Who is thy? Who is he talking to? God the Father. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, we've got to remember that Jesus is telling these apostles and disciples to go out into this world and get these people, these Gentiles, to believe on me. Believe what? The fact that he was the Son of God. Right? And Peter's message was plain. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That isn't to us today at all. When somebody asks you, well, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Well, you're reading Old Testament doctrine there, buddy. You got this thing all mixed up. My question to you is, have you received the faith of Christ? What are you talking about? They don't have a clue. They're stuck in the Gospels. They're stuck in the Old Testament. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now remember, he's not praying for the world. He's praying for those which shall believe on him through their word. Okay, we have a semicolon there, so the statement is not done. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one of us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, when this, I say now a lot, don't I? So now when this doesn't work and they kill Stephen, one of the first things Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 2 of how Christ takes down the wall between the Gentiles and the Jews. Because they're supposed to be one. And Jesus' whole intent was to make us one. Well, when they killed Stephen, there was still that separation between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, the Jews and the Gentiles. But back here, this is Jesus praying to his Father for these guys to go out into the world and teach them that Jesus was the Christ. And doing that, in verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And I'll say it again. Remember, this is not us he's talking about. He's talking about the Jews going out into the world, which is what we call the Great Commission. And I'll tell you where how the Great Commission got involved in our local churches today at another day. It is a false teaching. It is a hugely false teaching. Anyway, get back on the trail. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Again, there's the issue of the Gospels. There's the Jewish issue. There's what the Jews went out to teach the world, was that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. So even that Jesus was the Son of God. It just comes up all the time. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And then we get to chapter 18, when Jesus has spoken these words, he went forth to the disciples, and they came and they arrested him, and there goes the rest of that story. So put together all this in your mind as you read these. This is Jesus when he knows he's going to get arrested and crucified. He knows he's going to go to hell. Why else would he sweat blood? He's going to take everybody's sin. But what he tells the Jews, the disciples here, to go do, they don't get it all done. They kill the preacher. So Christ has to go to Paul to get the truth to the Gentiles, and he blinds his people, and he gives everything to the Gentiles, the big fantastic buffet, in hopes that the Jews will see what they could have had. And that's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven at one time. And when Jesus left, there went the kingdom of heaven. They had their chance to have it here in the earth at that time. That would have been the millennium, and everything would have been hunky-dory. But it didn't go that way. Did Jesus know this was going on? Well, sure. Just keep in mind what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, What's the mystery? Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Nobody knew that this was going to happen, as it is now revealed that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. That's what Jesus was praying about in John chapter 17, but it didn't come about. His own people messed it up. So he goes on to Paul. And again, like I said, Romans 11:22, and when the Gentiles are done with the goodness of God, which seems to be getting pretty close, then Christ will cut off the Gentiles and go back to his Jews. Have the tribulation, then he'll come back, and the best begins the millennium. So this prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17, it's not a prayer about us, it's a prayer about Jesus to those disciples, to those people then that were going to go out to the world and show the world that Christ was the Son of God. And that got shut down when they killed Stephen. And then here we are talking about Paul, the risen Savior teaching Paul what to teach to the Gentiles. That's what this program is all about. We have the goodness of God, the Jews' severity of God. We have the dispensation of grace. Best time in the past, present, or future will ever be. Well, have a good weekend. We will talk to you Monday with some new subjects. Try to carry this thing through.